Welcome to Learning from Experience, a podcast for college students and recent grads who want to hear directly from alumni on how they adjusted their lives post-graduation, including personal stories of success, career readiness, and tips for navigating the real world. I'm Allison Connell, Director of Marketing and Communications for the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, and I'll be talking with Ben Ellis, who graduated from the college in 2008 with a degree in communication. In September 2013, Ben founded E&G Real Estate Services out of a bedroom in his home. In 2014, he opened an office near the Biltmore and has been recognized as one of the fastest growing ASU alumni-owned companies for the past 4 years, twice in the top five. Today, Ben will be sharing about his start in real estate and how you can build wealth with investments. So thank you so much, Ben, for joining us today. To kick things off, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and your current role?
Sure. So I'm a proud Sun Devil alumni. Graduated from the Hugh Downs School of Communication in 2008. Also a Barrett graduate. That was a fun journey in and of itself. But I entered the real estate market when I was actually a freshman at ASU. One of my buddies was in commercial real estate, and it seemed like what he was doing was super interesting. And the company was looking for another intern, and I just kind of fell in love and was super passionate about learning and developing. And it was just very, very interesting. So just kind of was a natural fit for me. So that's kind of been a big part of my life, you know, since 2008, you know, for the last, oh man, gosh, what's it been now? Almost 13 or 14 years. It's crazy. But about 10 years ago, I met the love of my life, my wife, Sasha. We got married about 5 years ago, and we have a rescue dog, Riley, and we live, in Phoenix, kind of in the Arcadia Light area.
Very nice. So in your current role, so you're obviously still in real estate. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started my brokerage in 2013, and it's kind of an interesting story in the sense of when I graduated from ASU, the market was in a brutal place in 2008. The Great Recession. There were no jobs. There were no opportunities. And we really had to scrape and claw to find something. Luckily, I had an opportunity in commercial real estate. I worked there for 3.5 years, had a great mentor relationship with my boss. When I was ready to spread my wings, I entered the residential market in 2011. And it was kind of at the tail end of the Great Recession. Things were starting to pick back up a little bit. And so I worked for a small property management and leasing company. And so what was really interesting is I went from commercial real estate, selling these big, beautiful buildings that were, you know, $10, $20 million, working with very sophisticated clients. And I remember the first transaction that I ever did in residential was like a 1905 constructed historic like home on the west side of downtown Phoenix, original wood floors, but like the back of the house felt like it was falling in and like vines were coming up from the outside. I think the rent was like $650 a month. So it was like, it felt like putting a Ferrari engine into a Honda where I'd gone from, you know, the pinnacle of real estate to, you know, really kind of from the ground up, from the back to the beginning, because I didn't feel like I had earned, you know, the opportunity where I was in commercial real estate, because it was more about relationships. After working for that property management company for about 2.5 years, I saw some holes in the way that they operated. So I got my broker's license and then started my company out of a bedroom in my house in 2013. And, you know, just one property, one client at a time, grew it little by little. So today we've actually purchased and we own an office building in Tempe around Broadway and McClintock. And we have about 30 people that are on the team. We actually have 4 virtual assistants as well that live out of the country. Instead of doing, you know, 1 or 2 deals at a time, we'll probably do about 250 leasing transactions, about 150 sales transactions, and we manage about 500 single family and small apartment buildings around the valley. So my current role, I'm the designated broker. I also run our sales team. And then underneath me, I have our leadership team. We've got some really, really awesome people that we've brought on over the years. So I've got our director of property management, our director of accounting, and we just started a construction company as well to help service the clients that, you know, that we manage property for.
Wow, that's amazing to hear. And that's just grown so much over the years. You've really expanded. That's so impressive.
Thank you.
So kind of going back a little bit, and sure. I know you kind of talked about this. So what do you think it was about real estate that you were interested in, especially, you know, when you were in college studying communications, you know, how did you get hooked with real estate?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's like two completely divergent paths in terms of how I got connected to real estate and what I was studying. They really didn't have much to do with each other, but I found that my communication degree has been integral to my success in my career. So one of my friends drove up. I was in a fraternity in undergrad. He drove up in a BMW Z4. He was wearing a nice suit. And I was like, man, this guy is super successful. What does he do? And it turns out he was in commercial real estate. At the time, I was just trying to look for a little bit of beer money. And I was like, oh, this is a great opportunity. So that was kind of the iteration of just how I stumbled into real estate. It was just something that was interesting. It was something that was new. It was something that I'd never done before. And I was just very curious. And I just found very quickly that I loved building. And the company I worked for would take a raw piece of land, conceptualize the highest and best use for that piece of land, and then would kind of assemble the team, bring in architects, bring in engineers, bring in contractors, find tenants. And, you know, within a year or two later, would have new building, you know, that has businesses, that has customers. And it was just something that, you know, for some reason, it was very exciting to me. So I think that's where kind of the passion got struck. And on the other side, in terms of education, when I first started at ASU as a freshman, I was a theater major. So as a kid, I was a child actor and I did voiceovers. I did commercials in the San Francisco Bay Area, did some recordings at the same studio as Robin Williams, not at the same time, albeit, but had a lot of fun doing that and thought that's where I wanted my life to go, to be an actor. But I learned pretty quickly that, you know, that wasn't what I was as passionate about. It was a harder road and it was a great time while at ASU with all of the different classes that I could really explore what I was interested in. And I think that's why I became a communication major, is because I loved the classes that were being offered. Conflict management, nonverbal communication, those were the things that were just awesome. Like it was something that really stimulated me. And it was things that I felt like I knew, but couldn't necessarily put labels on until I took the classes. And so it was something that really connected the dots. And it wasn't until after I graduated that I realized that there's like real life applications to those types of classes. But when I was at ASU and shortly after graduating, I was like, I have a communication degree. Like nobody's going to want to hire me. Like I have no real life skills. I don't have a business degree. I don't have a marketing degree. I know nothing about like internet technology. Like I know nothing. Like I can just talk to people. But what I realized is that curiosity was the thing that has gotten me through. That being interested in learning how to learn new things and really just kind of following my passion. That is what has attracted employers to hire me, to give me opportunities, clients to, you know, give me a chance when there might be people that are more experienced in the industry, because they recognize that I've found something that I'm excited and passionate about. They see that I can put the pieces together, that I'm a problem solver. And so that, you know, skill set that I learned and really unlocked at ASU has made me successful in kind of my chosen career path.
What advice do you have for students that have just graduated college and started their first job?
Follow your passion. Don't go for the paycheck. You will be miserable for the rest of your life. Because when you find your passion and you're able to work on that every day, it's going to feel like you're never having to work a day in your life. And you will be more successful in that career than you ever thought possible. The second thing that I would say is play big. Don't go for, you know, the basic thing and the hamster wheel and all of that nonsense. Find something that you're excited about. Be the difference maker that you want to see. you can do it, you know, because right now there are hundreds of thousands of open positions. The world is changing. The job market is changing. How you work, where you work, when you work is dictated more by the employee than the employer in today's world. People are looking for talent. The business group that I'm part of, which we haven't necessarily talked about, there's 200 local business owners. There's 20,000 business owners in the world that are part of this organization. And the number one opportunity and the number one problem that we have is our people. If you are presenting yourself as super passionate, as somebody that's capable, people will give you a chance.
Do you have any real world experience, either from yourself or someone you know, that impacted your outlook on your career or life?
Oh, yeah, for sure. My boss in commercial real estate, who's still a friend today, it was both a very positive experience and also an eye-opening experience where, you know, I was working for the man in a sense. You know, I was being told what to do, how to do, when to do it. And it was, you know, it's sometimes not as exciting in terms of the role, but I learned a fantastic skill set. You know, I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. I come from, both of my parents are the most amazing people in the world. My mom founded a school for deaf children, and we have no deaf people in our family. My father, you know, made more meals for us growing up than my mom did. So it was a very different, you know, upbringing than typical. And so I was brought up with, you know, just being a good person, taking care of people, but I wasn't really turned on to the realities of the business world. And so the guy that I worked for, he had experiences from the opposite end. He had, you know, tough situations, and he was able to provide that experience share. And so I essentially was able to kind of learn through his experiences. He boiled it down in those ways that helped me to realize that not everybody, you know, is like my parents. Not everybody is like my friends, you know, that it's a tougher world out there and that you have to protect yourself in certain situations.
What investments have you found most worthwhile in the long run?
As soon as you possibly can, buy the home that you're living in, buy your first home. There are so many opportunities with first-time home buyer credits, down payment assistance programs. If you're lucky enough to come from an upper middle class or wealthy family, you're able to, you know, receive gifts for down payments. But the number one creator of millionaires in this country is through real estate. As soon as you can get on that train, the better off not only you'll be, but your future generations will be, your children will be, your children's children will be. So I'll give you a quick example of like a tale of two homes, a tale of two tenants, if you will. Let's take a look at purchasing a property worth $475,000 versus renting a property worth $475,000. If you look at a 10-year plan on that type of property and you start out renting it, let's say the rent is $2,000 a month. You're paying $24,000 a year in rent. Over a 10-year period, that is $240,000 that you have just paid in rent. And what do you get out of it? You get your landlord, maybe or maybe not, taking good care of you, potentially increasing your rental rate every single month. And if the market has gone up or down, you get nothing. You get no tax benefits, nothing. You get flexibility in terms of where you live, but you don't get any of the longer term investment benefits. Now, let's take a look at if right out of the gate, you purchase a home for that same dollar amount. And let's say your mortgage, to make numbers easy, is $2,000 a month. Well, now you've paid $24,000 towards a mortgage and $240,000 towards a mortgage for that same property. So after 10 years, just it's a different conversation, but the way that amortization schedules work is banks really get the better end of the deal. They get a lot of interest up front, and then over time, over a 30-year loan, then they get less and less every month, and every month you get a little bit more and more of that $2,000 towards your mortgage. So let's say, even though you pay $240,000 towards your mortgage, you're probably going to be closer to $350,000 or $375,000 in terms of a loan balance. But that means you built $75,000 worth of equity. But there's also ancillary benefits. Over time, the market goes up. I'm not going to say at least, but just conservatively, if we look at the last 10 years, 4% per year. So that same $450,000 home is now worth, compounding 4% annually, $640,000. So you've received a $75,000 benefit by paying down your mortgage, and you've received $190,000 benefit by increased equity in your home. So if you take a look at the two different things, you've lost $240,000 when you rent, but you've gained $260,000 when you buy, a $500,000 difference in a 10-year period. So you asked, what's the best thing I can do to invest my money in? Well, the reality is you're going to have to live somewhere. If you own the place that you live, you get the benefit of appreciation, you get the benefit of paying down your mortgage, and you get the benefit of someone not jacking your rent up every single year. So it really allows your money to work for you. And that's the biggest difference between, you know, the working class and, you know, wealthier individuals, is they find ways for their money to work for them, as opposed to having to go to work 9 to 5 every single day and getting that paycheck. And okay, yes, maybe you're putting it into a 401k and it's growing a little bit. That's all wonderful as well. That's diversifying for sure. But for me, I would save every single penny that you can and put it towards a purchase.
So if someone has no idea where to start and they're saying, how do I even find someone to help me look at homes? Who can I talk to about the type of mortgage I need? Like if someone just wanted to know where to start, where should they go? What type of resources would you recommend?
Awesome question. The answer is very simple. Find a realtor that you trust. Now, I say that from a biased perspective, being a realtor myself. But what are the other options? You could go direct to a seller. You could work with a large technology company like Opendoor or OfferPad or Zillow. They're going to be able to navigate you through, but a realtor is really a trusted advisor. And it's finding a realtor that actually knows what they're doing, knows how to analyze the market when there's 50 other families that are trying to buy that particular home, knows the tricks of the trade of how to structure the offer so that you win as opposed to the other 49 families going for the same house. So that as you're navigating your way through an inspection, you know, if there's a roof leak, if there's a problem with the, you know, appliances, we have vendors that can build houses, right? And all of the subcontractors in between. So when we identify something that's wrong, it's being able to bring in a specialist to tell you what's the issue, how much it's going to cost to get you back to normal. It's just looking for somebody that has a very strong network. And one of those pieces of the network is a mortgage broker. So somebody has to be, you know, a licensed mortgage broker. They work for a mortgage company. And what they're going to look at is they're going to look at your financials. Once you have a job, they're going to ask for, you know, your last couple of paychecks, if you've worked for a little while, your W-2s, things like that. And then they're going to tell you what you qualify for. So once you qualify for a particular loan, have sufficient money for a down payment, you are ready to go. And sometimes in certain cases, you only need 3% of the purchase price. So if we're talking about that same $475,000 property, which seems unattainable, it seems such like a huge number. Well, at the end of the day, if you only need to put 3% down, ballpark, it's $15,000. Okay, that's a big number. Yeah, absolutely, that's a big number. Well, you can either go to Old Town Scottsdale and spend all your money on $15 Red Bull vodkas or whatever people are drinking these days, or you can be smart with your money and you can budget. And yes, absolutely go out and have fun, but don't go and blow everything, because then you're going to stay living paycheck to paycheck for your whole life. It's about habit building. And so if you can just budget with regularity and you're putting that money away and you are not touching that money, you're going to be in really good shape. If you want to buy a home, if that's your objective, find somebody that you trust that can help you navigate the process. I would recommend a realtor. You could talk to your parents. You could talk to somebody successful that you know that's probably navigated that process. all you have to do is ask. People are always happy to help you. And so then you'll find that trusted partner. And when you find that trusted partner, you might be a year or two out. You might be 5 years out. That's okay. You are not wasting anybody's time. And you know how much you pay for it? $0 for that service. Realtors get compensated by the seller, not by you as the buyer. And they only get compensated when you actually buy something. So they're going to be willing to work with you long-term to help you get to the point where you're ready to buy, because then they're able to receive, you know, a big payoff through a real estate commission. The same's true for a mortgage broker. So you're going to find these people that are going to want to see you succeed. And then they're going to lay out the plan for you, how much you're going to need to save in order to get there in whatever time frame that you want. And then you budget.
How can our listeners connect with you online?
You can pop over to our website at eandgrealestate.com. So equityandgrowthrealestate.com.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much, Ben. This was so interesting and so helpful. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us today and learning from Ben's experience. If you'd like to connect with Ben, email ben@engrealestate.com. To hear more alumni advice, head to our episode page wherever you listen to podcasts or visit thecollege.asu.edu/LFE podcast. See you next time.